Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
When we hit that, like, 15-year mark, I was like, she's been gone longer than she was alive. What we consider her to be alive, you know, or that she was here, which is just really surreal. Kind of, it's strange to think about it like that. I just think that at the end of the day, somebody knows something, period. And I don't understand whoever that person may be that knows what happened. There's a special place in hell for that person. But at some point in time, the truth is going to come out. And I'm not going to stop talking about it. I've always taken the rule of thumb that if there's information, it needs to be told. And that's all we need is the truth.
You know, tragic things happen all the time, but as far as there being no closure, as far as like a body, nothing, like it's just, it blows my mind that it is still like one of the biggest missing person cases locally here that, you know, there's nobody in this town that doesn't know who Danielle is.
In September of 2001, 14-year-old Danielle Bell was living with her mom in Pensacola, Florida. Her parents had recently divorced, so it was a tough time for the family. On the evening of Friday, September 28, 2001, Danielle left home to go to a party even though her mother had instructed her not to. Her friends saw her at a high school party that evening. Later, she was seen at a different party with much older men. After that, no one saw or heard from Danielle again. Following her disappearance, some disturbing details surfaced about some people who were in Danielle's life, but it remains unclear if they had anything to do with what happened to Danielle. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 234 of The Vanished, Danielle Bell's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. 14-year-old Danielle Bell was known to be a popular girl at Tate High School. Those who knew Danielle described her as outgoing and creative. She loved cheerleading, going to the beach, and had lots of friends. For this story, we spoke with Danielle's sister, Bonnie. She told us that despite Danielle's seemingly happy disposition, that life at home wasn't always easy.
So she was the youngest of three. She was 6 years younger than me. And, you know, she was always a pretty outgoing kid. She definitely was a risk taker. As a little girl, she was a typical little girl, you know, into things pink and pretty things. We grew up in a pretty rough environment. There was a lot of abuse in our house. There was a lot of verbal abuse specifically. So in some aspects, you know, she grew up probably without a lot of the support that she needed from her parents, you know, to kind of develop her into a secure young woman. So as a preteen, she got involved with, you know, a pretty rough crowd. And from there, you know, all the events leading up to her missing kind of spiraled from there. But you know, in general, she seemed to be a pretty happy kid, given the situation. She actually was a cheerleader for a little league football team starting, I think she was probably 4 or 5 when she started. So she did do, and she did that her whole life, her whole childhood. So she was a cheerleader. She did have a lot of friends, average student. She was smart. She definitely wasn't stupid, for for lack of a better word, but she was pretty smart. She got good grades in elementary school, and then her grades were slipping, I think, towards the end of her, you know, middle school. And she had just started high school, not even a month before she went missing.
We also spoke to Danielle's cousin, Dana. Danielle and Dana shared a close bond as cousins, since they were only a year apart in age. Dana told us more about their relationship.
Danielle and I, we were like a little bit more close than some of the other cousins because we are so close in age. She was very loving and funny. She was just a free spirit. I mean, she always, if she ever put her mind to something, like it was, you know, you couldn't change it. She always had on the spot ideas that she was one of them people, like, had an idea and had to, like, run with it. You know, we would do each other's hair, makeup. I remember right before she went missing, I was actually, like, doing her eyebrows, like, the day before that I heard the news. Because I really, you know, when you hear something like that about, you hear it about other people's family, but you never expect it to be, like, you know, somebody in your close family that it actually I just really was like in denial. Like I was like, no, they're going to find her. She's not really missing. And she was reserved at times too. So she could be quiet until you like got to know her a little, but she was a very fun person, happy, kind. You know, I really can't just say enough like good things about her. She was go through that like rebel stage, but she was an overall good girl. She had good qualities and you know, we would go skating together. That was like a thing around here, like at the skating rink. We would go to like the all night skates and stuff. And she was just, you know, a fun person. She got very boy crazy at that age too, like normal, I guess. But that's where we got like close. We shared some of the same interests because we were so close in age. And we went to different schools, but we still remain like our whole family is kind of close. So, you know, that's really where we like developed our bond. We shared some of the same things that we would do together as fun, like going to the mall and teenage girl stuff. We would beg our parents to drop us off and they never would.
Bonnie told us that like many teens, Danielle became a bit rebellious and started hanging out with a rougher crowd, a crowd that liked to party.
Well, she was hanging around the wrong crowd most of the time. That's when she started hanging around Alfredo Sanchez.
According to Bonnie, Danielle met Alfredo through one of her friends who was dating one of Alfredo's cousins. Alfredo becomes important later on in this story, but it's important to note that in the lead-up to Danielle's disappearance, the two were involved in a sexual relationship. Alfredo's sexual contact with Danielle was illegal since he was 24 at the time and Danielle was just 14. Alfredo Sanchez is a rapist who preyed upon teenage girls. Back then, Bonnie wasn't aware of the details of this relationship. Bonnie was no longer living at home, but often visited with her family and would take Danielle to the beach on a regular basis. All Bonnie knew was that a couple weeks prior to Danielle going missing, she was eating dinner over at her mom's place when Alfredo came to pick Danielle up. Bonnie was not comfortable with her little sister going with this man and spoke up about it, but was told that Danielle babysat for Alfredo. Still, to Bonnie, something didn't seem right about this situation. Even though Danielle shared a close bond with her cousin Dana, Dana was not aware that Danielle was hanging out with this crowd of older men until after she disappeared.
I was really shocked to hear that she was hanging out with some of the wrong people. I guess, you know, we always hope that our kids don't go down the wrong path or whatever, but I guess when she got in her teenage years, she became a little bit, you know, like rebel, but I didn't expect it to be her to be hanging out with some of the people that I have found out that she was hanging out with. So I started to think maybe I didn't know her as good as I thought I did, but I guess we all go through that like rebel stage.
Bonnie told us more about Danielle's living situation back in 2001.
Her mom and dad gotten divorced. So my sister was with my mom and was living with her. It was not uncommon for her to leave and not come back for the weekend, and my mom not to know where she was at because my mom was so strung out. She drank a lot, and I know she was also strung out on meth at that time. She's just not like an emotionally stable kind of person. And she was always more concerned about going out and doing her own thing and not paying attention to what her kids were doing. And, you know, when Danielle's dad and her split, all of the stability that was in the house, the little bit that did exist, was gone. So Danielle was not accountable to anybody. She could pretty much do whatever she wanted to. And that's what led to what happened.
Danielle seemed to be split between her parents and the different rules in each household. Her mom's home wasn't a great environment for her, but the lack of rules was enticing for a 14-year-old. She told her cousin Dana about wanting to stay with her mom because her dad didn't allow her to do the same things that her mother did.
Her mom was a little bit more relaxed on that end and probably got her into some not so good situations, not keeping such a close eye on her, I guess. But now, I mean, as a kid, I guess it was kind of like sheltered from us as far as our Aunt Susan's like problems, but she was a little bit more, maybe had some like an addiction problem at some point, but she would let Danielle do more than her dad did. And that's why Danielle didn't want to be with her dad very much. He was more strict on her whereabouts and letting her do things. And whenever she would go with her mom, we would know what she was doing. So yeah, her mom just seemed a little bit more, she was a little bit more lax. She didn't err on the side of caution as far as not letting Danielle go to parties and stuff like that. And where's her dad? Because I remember her telling me that her dad was very strict, and her dad and my dad are brothers. So I understand. I remember Danielle, she wasn't allowed to wear shorts to the skating rink. She would bring clothes in her backpack to change because her dad, you know, wouldn't let her wear them out. And that is part of like the teenage girl thing that I would see a lot where my dad would check my bag. We had our own skates, so we would bring them in a bag. You know, she wanted to wear like the booty shorts or whatever, and her dad didn't allow it. He was very strict, but within good reason, you know, just like a normal dad that has a daughter. It seemed like she fell off a little bit more when she was with Susan as far as getting in fights on the school bus, acting up in school, hanging out with these dudes that were way older. And so, you know, on Uncle Matt's time with her, she didn't want to be with him because he was actually worried about where she was and, you know, wanted her home. And she wasn't allowed to go to the mall and alone, or she wasn't allowed to go to parties by herself. You know, he just kept a close eye on her like he should have, but that made it to where she didn't want to be over there to hang out with him. She was a very much a normal teenager. I really think she just, you know, got involved with the wrong crowd at somehow, you know, went to some parties with older guys and, you know, they were probably like trying to get her to, and she just got persuaded to hang out with the wrong people and do things that she shouldn't have been doing, like peer pressure maybe.
We also spoke to Danielle's aunt Diane, who was Dana's mom. And she told us that right before Danielle disappeared, they had a conversation that has always stuck with her.
Sometimes I felt like she was a little starved for attention, but I think a lot of that stemmed from when her parents started going through a divorce. And I felt like she was a little torn. And I was living around the corner from her dad, because I was married to her uncle, which is Dana's dad. And then we had got divorced, and I remarried, and I was still living around the corner from her grandparents. And then when her mom and dad got divorced, her dad moved in over there. So I got to see her quite often. And then you could tell that she was going through something because she asked if she could live with me like a few days before. And I always felt a little guilt about that. that she wanted to live with me. And we talked and we talked. I said, you can come over, spend the night anytime you want to. I said, but your mom and dad love you. And I wasn't favored by that other side of the Bell family because I was divorced from their other son. And I, you know, she kind of took that. Yeah, I understand, but I want to be able to come over here and stay. And we talked about it, but, you know, that always kind of cringed me about her wanting to come live with me. And I think that she didn't want to be torn. She wanted somewhere neutral. I know Susan was not in a good place, and I don't think she still is in a good place. And I think that stems from drugs, you know, and I think Danielle knew that. But for the most part, she was very upbeat, happy, just a pleasant child to be around, young woman that she was growing into.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. According to Danielle's mom, Danielle had confided in her that she thought she was pregnant. Here's Bonnie with more.
My mom has said that Danielle told her about 2 weeks before Danielle went missing that she was pregnant by Alfredo, and that Danielle begged my mom not to say anything because Alfredo would kill her.
Danielle had a doctor's appointment scheduled for the following week, but she never made it to her appointment. That Friday, September 28th, 2001, was the fateful night that Danielle was seen at a couple different parties before she disappeared. The first party she went to was just a gathering of other high school kids that she had gotten a ride to with some neighborhood friends. She was later seen at another party with much older men. Danielle's Aunt Diane told us about an argument that Danielle had with her mom the night she disappeared.
They had an argument that night because Danielle wanted to go to party. I think Susan was doing the best that she could do as far as under the circumstances of trying to control a child that was going through that age of not wanting to, the rebellion age. Well, you know how they play from one parent to another. If Matt was in the picture, that wouldn't have ever happened because of the restructure. Now you're in a home, there's no structure. So Danielle, I feel like she was feeding off of wanting some attention somewhere, whether it was emotionally, physically, wrong crowd, just somebody wanting to be with her and pay attention to her. If you're not getting it at home, you're going to go find it somewhere else.
Bonnie told us more about what is known about the night her sister went missing.
Before she went to the party, she and my mother got into an argument. I guess she was not supposed to leave the house because she had told my mom she thought she was pregnant by Alfredo. And my mom didn't want her going anywhere. From there, she went with some neighborhood kids to the first party, which was in the park. From what I understand, that party was just like a local, you know, high school party at a park, really, in an old neighborhood that is called the Village. And it's just it's a smaller neighborhood with kind of like shotgun houses that have been there since, and they're probably in the 1940s, close to the mill that just about everybody works at, small town. At the party, she supposedly left with the brother of Alfredo Sanchez, his name is Alex Sanchez, in a white Lincoln car. And then from there, she went to the party at Cedar Tree Lane, which was Robert Bassett's house. And there's been eyewitness reports that she was heavily intoxicated, dancing on tables, and just, you know, drunk.
When Danielle didn't come home, her family began calling around to her friends. One friend of Danielle's, Stacy, covered for Danielle, as teens often do. She said that Danielle had spent the night at her house. Unfortunately, this wasn't true and only delayed the search efforts for Danielle. Bonnie told us that a couple days after Danielle was seen at the parties, when she still hadn't returned, on September 30th, their mother reported Danielle missing to the police, who for a long time considered her a runaway.
At that time, I didn't know, nobody else in my family knew that Danielle had said she was pregnant. We didn't know. And so we didn't know about this, you know, her hanging out with this guy, these people, or anything. And I guess from there, law enforcement did gather the information from Danielle's mom about Alfredo Sanchez and Robert Bassett, and then that's what led them to the party. They did investigate that, but they really stayed dormant on it until about 2005.
There are two men at the center of Danielle's disappearance, Alfredo Gomez Sanchez Jr. and Robert Bassett. Alfredo was the man who had been sexually abusing Danielle, and Robert was the man who held the party that Danielle was last seen at. Bonnie told us more about the connections between Alfredo and Robert.
Robert Bassett is, well, he was Alfredo Sanchez's best friend. From what I understand, they had been best friends for many years, grew up together. And he was the one that, you know, had the party at his mom's house where she was reportedly heavily intoxicated. He gets very upset anytime you put his name out in the media related to Danielle's case. He's been arrested multiple times for domestic violence. He's just goes off the handle, violent guy. He's not any better than Alfredo. He's kind of a big guy out of the two of them. Alfredo is kind of like a beanpole looking guy. Robert is a big dude. Pretty intimidating looking. So I always kind of got the feel that he was the guy that cleaned up all of the messes, to put it for a better word, I guess. And, you know, he's very conniving in a way. It just seems to me that they definitely work together. And one of the most suspicious things to me was always the fact that, you know, for the 3 to 4 weeks after she went missing, we could not find Alfredo Sanchez anywhere, because we wanted to talk to him to see what he knew. Because at that time, you know, we were just looking for answers. We had had no clue that he had murdered her, but we did know that he was one of the last people seen with her. That to me was extremely suspicious.
Robert Bassett claims that Danielle left his party with another young woman and her boyfriend that night, but those two people refute that claim. They say she was still at the party when they left.
Okay, Robert Bassett claims that she left that party with Stacy Kane and Joe Harris. They claim that she was left at the party, that they did not take her home. And that's pretty much the gist of that. I mean, you know, we've never been able to confirm one or the other. I'm inclined to think that she was left behind at that party. She could have passed out or OD'd and died and they did something with her. I don't know. That's a possibility. It's at that point that we just don't know for sure.
The young woman who says that Danielle was still at the party when she left with her boyfriend is the same friend who covered for Danielle when her family first started looking for her. Like Danielle, Stacy and her boyfriend were teenagers. They weren't in their 20s like Robert and Alfredo. This friend seemed to initially think that Danielle had just stayed out too long or partied a little too hard. She didn't suspect that something had happened to her friend. While it may sound suspicious or that she knows more, Bonnie thinks that her attempt to cover for Danielle early on was just something that teens do to help a friend stay out of trouble, and that Stacy had no way of knowing the full gravity of the situation at the time. Additionally, there were other witnesses from the party that seemed to support Danielle's friend's story, that she was still at the party after they had left. One odd thing that happened after Danielle disappeared was that Alfredo Sanchez also dropped off the map for a few weeks. They wanted to track him down and speak to him because Danielle had said she thought she was pregnant with his child and the stories about her being at a party with him the night she disappeared. He eventually came back, but no one is quite sure where he was during this time and why he had left. Was he attempting to keep a low profile, hoping the situation would blow over? Bonnie mentioned earlier that the case seemed to go dormant until 2005. That's when a new detective came on the case. Over the years, several young women had reported that Robert and Alfredo had provided drugs and alcohol to them in exchange for sex. The problem was that they were often too afraid to testify about what happened to them. One of the young women who came forward was brave enough to testify, and in 2005, Alfredo was charged with several offenses in relation to the sexual crimes he committed against Danielle and the other teen. He was also charged with intimidating a witness. Bonnie told us that Alfredo was sentenced to more than 30 years for these crimes.
I mean, he's a person of interest in her disappearance, for sure. 2 counts for her. There's another juvenile girl that he was also sentenced for. Altogether, I think he's over 30 years. So he was sentenced in 2007. We had this detective. His name was Mark Schmeister. He was awesome. He was amazing. I can't think of a better detective. He's the one that cracked the sexual assault charges and was able to get the evidence to try him for that. And he's really helped us, you know, kind of weave through and narrow down all of the hundreds of rumors that, you know, came through and tips that came through, and really acted like he cared. They did do several searches in different areas in conjunction with Class Kids. We're fortunate enough to have the executive director, Brad Dennis, in our local area. So that's been nice.
The witness intimidation charge stems from his alleged alibi for the night that Danielle disappeared. He claimed that he was with a woman that night. In the beginning, she went along with Alfredo's story, but later recanted.
You know, one of the charges that he has is tampering with a witness. So related to her case, and that was in regards to his alibi. His alibi originally said that he was with her all night that Danielle went missing, but later turned out not to be true. The girl recanted that story, and he was arrested for basically tampering with a witness because he threatened her that if she didn't provide his alibi, that he would harm her physically. He still maintains that he had nothing to do with her case. At first, he said he didn't even know her, which was, of course, not true. So I wouldn't really say he's cooperated. I'd say he's made it more difficult. And he maintains that story, that he wasn't with her. But eyewitness accounts definitely point to the fact that he was there and that he was seen with her. There's no physical evidence.
Bonnie got to see Alfredo face to face during the court proceedings for his sexual offenses against Danielle.
I saw Alfredo in court. I didn't speak to him, but I spoke to his family.
why they spoke to me. Members of Alfredo's family and the girl that he was seeing at the time stood outside of the courthouse and spat on us as we walked in and walked out and called my sister a whore and that she got what she deserved. That was their response to us.
The whole premise of her disappearance and our suspicion of him is related to the fact that she said she was pregnant by him prior to disappearing. And I mean, those two kind of go hand in hand, which is prior to those charges. But I mean, to me, that's the biggest factor. And especially considering that she told my mom that she was, you know, he would kill her if she told that she had been having sex with him because of the age difference.
There was also a car that was connected to Alfredo that the police were interested in tracking down. They wanted to search it for potential evidence. Bonnie told us more.
The car that the police actually tried to look for, which was his cousin's car, was the car that Danielle was seen leaving the first party in the park, headed to the Cedar Tree Lane address, which was the house party. They tried to locate that vehicle. It was Alfredo's cousin. I do believe Alfredo's cousin was the one that owned that vehicle.
And she said that she sold the car. It was later found that it was taken to a junkyard after it had been cleaned and it was totaled out, like just destroyed. Destroyed at the junkyard, but they crushed the car.
Robert also has a story that he stuck with since the time that Danielle went missing. As I mentioned earlier, his story is that she left that night with a young couple.
He went in and he was questioned several times. He maintained his story that he had absolutely nothing to do with it. So that was the extent of his cooperation. He was asked to take a lie detector test, and he never would take one.
Like Alfredo, Robert has an extensive criminal history. Over the years, he's been charged with many different crimes, including multiple counts of lewd and lascivious behavior, with the victim being between the ages of 12 and 16, battery, sexual assault, kidnapping, false imprisonment, stalking, burglary, and grand theft auto. For Bonnie, Robert's criminal history adds to her suspicions that he likely has some involvement in what happened to her sister. Bonnie has had some contact with Robert over social media, and it wasn't a pleasant experience.
I have talked to Robert Bassett over social media. He got upset because we would put his name in the media. He never liked that. But basically, everything that they're saying back is that she was a whore and that she got what she deserved. A child at that, a 14-year-old child. Well, it's just telling, really, to me, into their mentality and their mindset.
Over the years, there have been many rumors about what happened to Danielle. While the rumors vary, they seem to involve the same people. Alfredo Sanchez, Alfredo's brother, Robert Bassett, and Alfredo's cousin. While none of these people have been charged in relation to her disappearance, beyond Alfredo's charges of witness intimidation, Danielle's family and law enforcement remain suspicious of these four people. One of the four, Robert Bassett, seems to be the most vocal whenever Danielle's name comes up in the news. He doesn't want to be associated with the case. If he had nothing to do with her disappearance, that's understandable. But he has behaved in a manner that keeps people pointing the finger at him. He's done things like commenting on social media saying that Danielle's body was put in a hog pen. He has also allegedly stalked and harassed people in regards to Danielle's disappearance, in an attempt to keep them silenced. Bonnie told us that the property where Robert had the party back in September of 2001 was searched in 2010, including a search of the septic tank.
The septic tank on the property where that party was held was searched. No comprehensive search of the house, no. And the reasoning for that, I don't know if it was just because it had been so long, because really the cops didn't do anything for the first while. They didn't do much at all as far as searching for her. And it would have been 8-9 years into the case when they searched the septic tank. And that's a lot of the problem with this case is that they just didn't act quickly enough.
There seems to be people in this case who know something, but they've been threatened to keep quiet or face the consequences.
I've talked to one girl that said that she was threatened. I mean, there's been several people that have said that they've been had their lives threatened if they were to say anything or talk to the police about it. It kind of goes in conjunction with, you know, with Alfredo threatening his alibi. That was one of the things that they were known for doing. And it created an atmosphere, an environment with that group of people that were there that they were afraid to talk.
Over the years, many searches have been conducted for Danielle by various organizations. Bonnie told us more about those searches.
Class Kids has done a dozen or so searches for Danielle in a variety of areas based on any kind of information that may have been provided through the tip lines or just areas that were known to have been where those guys, the suspects, had parties or any kind of affiliations with. So there was one property off of the Escambia River that was searched. There was, you know, nothing ever turned up, though. I mean, that's the grand scheme of it, is none of the searches turned up any evidence.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished. In hindsight, Bonnie feels like considering her sister a runaway from the very beginning has made solving her case much more difficult because valuable time was lost.
I think if at the very beginning, had they not listed her as a runaway, you know, this is still 2001, so cases were handled a little bit differently. This is this area I like to call it, if it ain't broken, don't fix it area. I mean, they do the same. You know, the same things over and over again. And if you challenge them on their methods, they get, you know, defensive. And it's not a team effort.
Even though Danielle was considered a runaway for a long time, her Aunt Diane told us that she never believed that to be true.
And I always thought to myself, well, you're not running away, because knowing Danielle, you would have brought something, toothbrush, toothpaste, something. Because she always looked so cute all the time. It's never like that she was doing without material stuff or being taken care of with food. or a house to live in, a roof overhead, power, water was always on. It wasn't like that. And then I thought, well, God, you know, this is September and here comes the holidays. And I kept thinking, if Danielle was taken and she could call, she would have. It's not like her not to want to be with the family. I think she wanted her mom and dad together, and it wasn't working out that way. I know that Danielle would have not left willingly. Something had to have happened that she would not have not contacted somebody. You know, that's just not her personality. She loved both of her parents and she loved her family. I think she was just a little torn, but she just wouldn't have just up and disappeared without contacting someone. And I always think, because, you know, Dana was born in October and then Danielle was born in July, and that was close in age. And I thought, there's no way that I would ever think that she just would have not been around. Birthdays, holidays, not seeing Bonnie, her brother, picking up the phone and calling. And I always think, well, maybe she's been held captive all this time. But if she had a way to call, I know she would have already. For so many things, like she was in a pig farm, she was this, she was butchered, she was a pig farm, she was strangled. They put her body in a bag somewhere, and then I've heard all of that. I couldn't imagine putting my feet in her shoes that day that it happened. My heart breaks about that. Just wish we would have a little bit of closure, and I hate all the rumors. I hate not knowing.
Danielle's cousin Dana recalled a time when she was at work years ago, and a new coworker approached her about Danielle's disappearance.
I worked at Cracker Barrel a long time, like in my teenage year, like as far as 18, when I was 18. And I started training this girl, and I never thought she looked familiar. I didn't know her. Well, at the end of like our training, after I like trained her to do the job, she was like, "Hey, I have a baby by the guy that supposedly killed your cousin." And I was like, "What'd you just say to me? Oh my God." I just remember like getting the goosebumps like I did just now. And I was like, "I'm sorry, what? Did I just hear you say that?" And so she actually did have a baby by Alfredo Sanchez. And so, and naturally I didn't want to not like her, but I was like, "Yeah, I can't, this. I can't, you know," I'm like, "you probably know what happened. Like, you're not saying anything either." And for her to feel so comfortable to tell me that she thought they fed her to the hogs, I was like, just crazy. I mean, we have heard so many things about what has happened to her. They put her in like a wood chip thing and like, you know, destroyed her body basically. I mean, the hogs ate her. I mean, we have heard so many things. Even that, I was just like, you felt comfortable telling me that? Like, I was just like dumbfounded. I was like, I can't believe that you felt like you could say that to me. Like, that's a sensitive subject now and then, and it will always be. It was inappropriate. You don't know me. And as far as that goes, you need to, you know, mind your business. If you probably do know something, you were. And to me, I'm like questioning the fact that you had a baby by this guy, like, you know, one of the guys that was probably, you know, supposedly involved or raped her.
With the last sighting of Danielle being at the party at Robert Bassett's house, Bonnie has always felt like the people at the party knew more than they've ever told authorities. But Bonnie also acknowledges that without any solid evidence to prove what happened to her sister, there are other possibilities that are out there.
I don't think she left that house alive. I have to question everything. Anything's possible. I mean, she could have been trafficked. She could have been sold. I don't know. I don't wholeheartedly believe that. I think at this point, anything's possible, but I don't believe that she left that house alive. You know, whether or not they were taking advantage of a situation of a girl that whose mom was too strung out to pay attention to what she was doing and then led up to that situation. For me, I think I really believe that she was never given a fair shot. She didn't really have a chance with the situation that she was in, from, you know, her home situation to the crowd that she was following. It was not healthy for her. I mean, and at 14, good God, I mean, that's like an extremely impressionable age. And I just don't think she was given a fair shot. I feel like the truth is the truth. And wherever that truth leads is where it leads. And the only thing that I'm here to do is, you know, keep Danielle's story out. I don't want people to forget, and to be an advocate for her, because I don't see anybody else doing it. I just think that at the end of the day, somebody knows something. Somebody knows something, period. And I don't understand whoever that person may be that knows what happened. There's a special place in hell for that person. But, you know, at some point in time, the truth is going to come out. And I'm not going to stop talking about it. I've always taken the rule of thumb that if there's information, it needs to be told. And that's all we need is the truth to solve this.
Dana told us that Danielle's disappearance is a well-known mystery in their town. And she's surprised that with the high-profile nature of the case locally, that they haven't solved Danielle's case.
And my biggest thing is that tragic things happen all the time, but as far as there being no closure, as far as like a body, nothing, like it's just so, it blows my mind that it is still like one of the biggest missing person cases locally here that, you know, there's nobody in this town that doesn't know who Danielle is. I mean, it's at one point in time, it was everywhere. You know, there was like, there's still a big billboard on Hayes Boulevard. I mean, it's just a huge case that for nobody to say nothing and nobody to get to the bottom of it, it's just really discouraging as far as the human race goes. As far as nobody's talking, nobody wanted to say anything, or like that Robert Bassett, he knows something. Somebody knows something, and it's just, it blows my mind that they were able to keep that a secret. And if they didn't actually tell anyone, that then people are not talking either. For there not to be a real piece of anything that has led to something as far as where she remains right now and all the things that I've heard that has been done to her, it really is crazy.
There are many unknowns in Danielle's story that have left lingering questions for her family for almost 20 years. Dana still remains on edge when she hears about human remains being recovered locally.
Since 2001, literally any time that I, and people that know me, they'll like send me stuff to this day if they see like a Pensacola body was discovered or they don't have the name yet. People that are close to me get clenched about it too. Like I'm always wondering if it's her, or I remember a day, Danielle's dad and my dad, their mom, we would call her mommy, and she's dead now, but her house was like where all of the cousins, where we would go on Christmas. And that's where, you know, we would always wait for each other to get there. Cause we were all of us cousins are pretty close. And so after this happened to her, I remember seeing an article in the newspaper, and I was going to mommy's house because Danielle's dad, Matt, had lived there at one point. And I remember my dad told me to go in there and get something, and I didn't know anybody was home. We all had a key to her house. And so I went in and I heard someone crying. And when I like turned the corner, it was Danielle's dad, and he was sitting on the staircase just sobbing about the newspaper story. And that always remains in my head because I have two boys, and I just can't imagine what, you know, that has been like for Susan and Matt, no matter if them two hate each other or they put the blame on one another. At this point, it is what it is as far as, you know, a parent losing a child to me, you know, and I'll never forget that. He just sat there and sobbed, and it was just so heartbreaking. And I started crying because it was just so sad that, because it has affected him majorly. Like, he doesn't really talk about it too much, but my dad is his brother, so he has told me, you know, that it has definitely taken a toll on him. I couldn't put those feelings in place at the time as far as like a mother's standpoint, but now that I have children, it's like my biggest fear for my children. So I'm as strict as it comes as far as letting my children go out of my sight without me or where they're going.
Even though nearly two decades have passed since Danielle was last seen, Dana told us that she continues to have hope that answers will come.
There is no point in time to give up hope. If you give up hope, it is just that you gave up. I mean, and I think we've all came to like a realization that, you know, she's not physically with us anymore, but finding out or knowing exactly what has happened would be
I think, closure for, you know, a lot of her people that were close to her and her dad and her mother. No matter blaming fault on whoever, it still would like to know exactly what happened, or for somebody to be owning up to that, murdering her or doing whatever happened to her.
So what happened to Danielle Bell on that September night back in 2001? We know that she was seen at two different parties that night, and she was last seen at the party with much older men. Did one or more of those men harm her? She had also told her mom that she believed she was pregnant with Alfredo's child. Could that have been the motive to take her life? To silence her and eliminate any proof of the sex crimes against 14-year-old Danielle? Or did something else happen to Danielle? Could they have supplied her with drugs and alcohol that night and she overdosed? We did contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office to see if we could get more information about their investigation into Danielle's disappearance, but they declined both our interview request and our request for documents. When I was looking into Danielle's case, it was easy to see that she was lacking proper guidance and structure that she needed at 14. This made her vulnerable to the older men who likely saw her as an easy victim. One of the saddest things that I found while researching this case was just how many people knew that Alfredo was sexually assaulting Danielle. While I was reading through court documents that I was able to obtain from Alfredo's trial for his sex crimes, I could see that during the course of the investigation, 12 different people, including some family members, friends, and neighbors, told police that they were aware of or witnessed the sexual activity. Many of those same people were also aware that Danielle thought she was pregnant with Alfredo's child. Sadly, no one reported this to authorities before Danielle went missing. It only came out years later during the course of the investigation into her disappearance. Danielle was failed on so many levels. If you have any information about the disappearance of Danielle Bell, please contact the Escambia County Sheriff's Office at 850-436-9620. You can also call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children at 1-800-843-5678.
I think after so long, you just feel like you're kind of stepping on people's toes when you talk about it, or when somebody's always going to be upset about something. But at the end of the day, it's really not about anybody but Danielle.
Bonnie's never given up about trying to be such a big advocate, you know, in the candlelight vigils and stuff like that. I think about her every holiday, every birthday. Somebody knows something, and nobody's saying anything. But it's just sad for the family that we don't have the closure, and we don't know. Will we ever know? You know, there's always those cold cases that come to light, and, you know, my husband watches these ID stuff, you know, on TV, and I do find it a little bit fascinating, but I also find that it's a little sad because I always think about her, and it's something to hold on to also. And, you know, when every time the holiday or a birthday comes around, I always loved remembering her and just looking at her face and wondering what she's like now, if she still is here with us. I know that's everything that I've heard, that she's not, but I still have that hope.
For me to tell you about Danielle, she was so loving and kind and such a free spirit. Like, you know, she was smart too. Like, that's why I'm like, I don't understand why Danielle, or what made y'all, what could she have done, or what made y'all pick her?
That brings us to the end of episode 234. I'd like to thank everyone who spoke with us for this story. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to join in on the discussion, there's a page and discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at The Vanished Pod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There are a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey. Join me next time. I'll be covering a case from Washington. Thanks for listening.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.